Sad Pod Episode 7, recorded January 8th, 2016.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Sad Pod, where stay-at-home dads talk about their happy, sad lives. I'm your host, David McPhee, coming to you all the way from sunny Palm Coast, Florida. On tonight's show, we are actually having a meet and greet. It's where we introduce new cast members and have them talk about themselves. I mean, who knows them better? Let me start by giving a big hello to tonight's co-hosts, Pat Jacobs, Brett Roberts, David Becker, and Ross Bell. Hi, fellas.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hey. Hello.
Good evening.
All right, the purpose of this podcast is twofold. It's to make newbies familiar with how we do things around here at Sad Pod, and it's also to introduce the cast. I'm going to start this group therapy by giving you a little bit of background info about me. I was born in Western Australia 6 months after my parents emigrated from the UK. So with the exception of a slight hiccup between 72 and 74, I grew up in Western Australia. I began my gypsy lifestyle at 20. Where I went off to the UK with little money and no qualifications, and I stayed there for 4.5 years exploring my heritage before I went back to Australia and began life as a croupier. A little bit of misadventures in between then and now, and I went back to school for environmental management, which led to the US, which led to marriage to a girl from Alabama, which led to a trip to Walmart territory in Arkansas, which led to a master's, which led to a road trip to the Florida Everglades, which led to Palm Coast, Florida, which is where I am right now. Now, my road to being a stay-at-home dad began in an IVF clinic in Jacksonville. I'm in my mid-40s, so we need a little bit of push. And I'm now the dad of a 16-month-old little girl who goes by the nickname of The Bean and is, as in Ellie, the jelly bean. Now, I'm a stay-at-home dad because my wife beats me in the employment stakes. She just out-earns me. And, well, let's face it, that's pretty standard for stay-at-home dads. Her company is based in Chicago. She works for a women's nonprofit, and she travels at least 1 week out of every month a year, which basically makes life difficult. Now, me personally, I used to have hobbies. I actually listed this as a question. I used to have them. I don't have them anymore. My hobbies now just consist of actually taking care of nappies, but I used to hike and bike and travel and things like that. Anyway, that's enough about me. Let me throw it out. I can't remember who was first in the list. Who was first in the list? Does anybody here remember, fellas?
It was Pat, wasn't it?
I think it was Mr. Pat. Come on, Mr. Pat Jacobs. Tell me about yourself, mate. And you can be a little bit less organized than I was because obviously I practiced and I read from the script.
And you have such a beautiful voice. Oh, my gosh. No, great job, man.
Back to me. You know, get back to me later, mate. I'll give you my number.
You know, I was an acting theater major in college and everything. So your preparation really puts me on the spot here. So it's really not going to be all that great. So basically, yeah, I'm Pat Jacobs. I live in Chicago with my wife and two kids. I traded wrapping burritos at Chipotle for wrapping babies in 2013 when my first kid was born. And really our first idea was that I would just kind of take the summer to recoup and figure out what I want to do next. Cause we assumed that I would hate being a stay at home dad. And it turned out that it was the toughest job I'd ever had. And I absolutely loved it. And, we really liked that entire situation the way that it was. And the wife and I decided that we would continue to do so. So here I am. And I co-manage a blog called Just a Dad 247 with a college buddy of mine to help stay-at-home dads find resources, humor, and support throughout the days. Pretty much the type of stuff that we were looking for when I became a stay-at-home dad. He had been one for about a year and a half at that point. I was just voted on to the board for the National At-Home Dad Network, and I'm an event organizer for the Chicago Dads Group here in Chicago, and I think that's about it.
Well, no, that's not quite it. You have a podcast running as well, don't you?
Yes. A buddy of mine out here in Chicago, Eric Binion, and I do a podcast called But Daddy Why, where we kind of take those hard questions that kids ask parents all day long, and you just don't really have the right answer for it. And you just say, because I said so, or because it's the way it is. We do kind of research and go on the podcast and kind of explain how to explain it to kids and kind of argue about it back and forth. So,
okay, folks, now this is the portion of the program where we actually beat Pat, which means we just ask him questions. Does anybody have any questions for Pat?
Oh boy.
Anybody? Anybody want his number?
Have you ever had the good Smarties yet?
You know, I hear there's some strange Smarties in other countries and stuff, and I'm very interested to try those out. But as of now, I am straight American Smarties fiend. I'm absolutely addicted.
Okay, well, we're going to leave Pat, and we're going to move over to the – well, we're going to move up, actually, not over, to the Great White North. And Brett Roberts,
Not Brett Rogers, not Buck Rogers.
Now, hang on a second. Before we do anything here, Brett, people might remember you from the Time Travel podcast where you argued to actually go back in time and basically got outvoted.
I've come terribly, yes.
Okay, I'm coming back from that disappointment. I know it was quite difficult, but you know, people don't really know you. They don't really know the real you. Can you please enlighten us, mate? What is the real Brett Roberts?
Well, the FBI, since I've been relocated, tells me I can tell you. No, live in London, Ontario, Canada. I've been living here for the last few years. 38. I got a couple. Been here. Lived in Calgary. Lived in Vancouver. Lived in Brisbane, Australia, a couple times. So we've kind of bounced around. We live a little bit of a gypsy lifestyle. So that's a bit of the background. I'm 38. I've been looking after my kids since my first one was born back in February of 2013. We had our first little one and hadn't really planned on doing this, but we made a move and my company didn't have an office here. And we said, well, I'll stay home with them for a bit and see how it goes. And now we got two. So I got one that's about a year and a half, and one that's almost three now. My oldest one's Mia. So I got two little girls, and my younger one is Abigail or Abby. So they keep me fairly busy from, you know, 7 a.m. till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So they keep me pretty busy. I'm kind of like you. Yeah, hobbies. I used to have hobbies. I have my motorcycle in the garage, and I think I used it 3 times this year. I think I actually went through more than one tank of gas, which is pretty good. But yeah, I used to have that as a hobby, and watching hockey and going to see some buddies at the pub and telling lies and drinking beer. But those days are long behind me, it feels like. My wife is a physician, so that's why we've been doing a bit of bouncing around and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And before that, I used to be a large loss or a senior loss adjuster for insurance company for property losses. So this is a bit different than doing all that. But I keep saying that I had to put up everybody's crap before. Now I deal with two people's crap, so it's a little bit easier than what I had to do before. And yeah, that's basically me. I said, just started doing the podcast just for something different, to talk to some guys that are in the same situation and exchange some more stories with the boys in the trench just for something different, because there's not a lot of guys around here that do it. We have a few stay-at-home dads here in London. I'm part of the London Dads Club here locally. We have a group of about 500 dads. Most aren't stay-at-homes, but just dads locally. We do things as groups on weekends, and some of the stay-at-home dads, we get together on weekdays to get the kids together and hang out and stuff like that. So that's my basic lowdown. I don't live in an igloo. I don't have a polar bear. No, I don't have a dog sled.
Now, how do you feel after saying all that, Brett? Because I have a feeling I think you did write a thesis and you got it squeezed into probably about 2 minutes.
I just did that off the top of my head, so I didn't really write anything down. I said your little piece of paper in front of me. So,
Do you feel better for getting that out there? I almost feel like we've gone through some sort of absolution.
You know, I got a lot more to get off my chest, but I pay $75 an hour for somebody to listen to that, and I don't think I want to pay all you guys that fee.
Yeah, well, I don't know. $75 would probably go a long way for me, mate.
My guy works out of a cardboard box behind the McDonald's, but hey, he makes me feel better about myself.
Hey, look, hobo CEOs, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, hey, he's got a master's in art, so I figures he's got to be pretty smart.
Did he get it from a Canadian university? Was it a 3-year or 4-year degree?
I think it was one of those online ones you can get from like Phoenix University or something. You used to go to the free library and use the Wi-Fi.
I was going to bring up politics. I was actually going to go against my own mantra there. So I'm going to take that back. Does anybody here have any questions for Mr. Brett in the Great White North? And no polar bear questions, please.
Yeah. So if you don't have a dog sled, how do you get around?
I actually do ride a polar bear from point A to point B. It tends to be better on mileage. It's better for the environment. The dogs are really hard here to put up with and feed. Mm-hmm. So we actually have children to feed them to the polar bears because it's cheaper than buying food.
I actually thought polar bears ran on Coke.
No, they don't.
Coca-Cola, folks. Coca-Cola.
No. Usually what happens is that the Coke attracts the bears. And if you're drinking Coke, you're too fat to run away and you get eaten. So that's usually why the rumor starts. The Coke is just in there for a different reason.
Okay, now who have we got next? I think we have Mr. David Becker, who I spoke to for the first time last night, who has been lurking around the forums, but I believe he has a new baby, so he has an excuse. David, step on up to the mic.
Yeah, no, it was. We had a good chat last night, and I'm glad to finally have our newest edition be 7 weeks as of this past Wednesday. So I think I'm ready to sort of break out, and the cloud of confusion is at least diminished a bit in our house. So yeah, I joined in planning to do this a little bit sooner, and obviously everybody knows a new baby. So
David, I'm gonna pepper you with questions, mate.
Okay.
So who are you and what's your location?
Yeah, so David Becker, and I'm located in Fairfield, Connecticut, so northeast in the U.S.
Okay, and how long have you been a stay-at-home dad there, David?
So I've been a stay-at-home dad from the beginning, actually. I ended up leaving a little bit, basically during when my wife was pregnant, and I was able to – I sort of wanted to be able to go to all the visits and get the house ready and whatnot. So a little bit before she was due. So I've been home the whole time, and it's been great on my end, actually, to kind of have experienced kind of the whole spectrum.
So how did you have that conversation? Because, I mean, we already know how we had our conversation. In fact, I think I got sent a text message that just told me what I was doing. How did you actually decide?
Decide to stay home.
I mean, how did the conversation go? Was it basically you got told, or was it much more of a careful, gentle negotiation?
Yeah, it was I would say it was, there was a discussion, but it was more, weighted towards this is what I want to do. I've always sort of wanted someone to be home if possible, or, you know, as home as much as, you know, very flexible, that sort of a thing. I didn't want everyone working in sort of, you know, high charge, never around sort of careers. And we both were kind of in that, and I kind of knew. And I'm kind of an odd one, that whole timing thing. Will not dive into politics, though I noted this yesterday, but I'm involved in local politics, and I had run for an office.
Boom.
And I know, the politician, right? It comes out. I'm involved in local politics, and I had run actually for a higher office, mayor of the town, and didn't get out of one of the phases. And it kind of actually worked out really well. That would have put me on the trajectory that we both probably would have been working, and not done what I wanted, but it was just, I felt it was important at the time in the community, but it set the stage for me to have actually taken a leave of absence and us to adjust to not having the money and sort of me being around. And it sort of became, well, let's do it now. So it was a little bit earlier than we wanted, but we had kind of adjusted a bit, which helped, because that whole stopping working, cold turkey, the money, the whole bit is definitely a big barrier, I think, sometimes to it, even if you both want it. But it worked out nice, because I always kind of knew in the back of my mind, my wife makes more money. We kind of knew she was on that path, but I always kind of wanted to be home if possible more than I think she necessarily did. Although I'm sure she'd like it, but I knew that I wanted it. So
did season 6 of Daniel Tiger coming out have anything to do with this?
Well, we are Daniel Tiger fans. And I am known to sometimes, sing or at least piece together some of the wording to encourage things in the house. It is quite fun. So
yes,
maybe a little bit.
if you need to go potty, stop and go right away.
Oh my gosh. But that one's been overused in our house.
So what does your wife do, David?
Yeah. So my wife is she's in finance, and it's gotten a little bit better. It's gotten a little bit better now. She works for a smaller regional bank now. But she was working for one of the big ones, and she was commuting into the city and all that. So I give her a lot of credit because I could never basically take a 2-hour each way type commute on a train, and I mean I'd be miserable. But she does it, and now she takes a much shorter commute, and she's actually home earlier, which is very nice. But longer hours, and I give her a lot of credit for it.
So wrap it up and give us some of your hobbies there, mate.
Yeah.
Give us the personal side to David Becker. Other than having a name similar to Porus Becker, do you play tennis? By
I do like it, but it's interesting. You talk hobbies, and I say I'd love to go play tennis. I'd love to maybe go do some yoga or things like that. But I really never do. Most of my hobbies are spent. I'm a volunteer firefighter. I've been for 15 years. Moved up the ranks there, and I do a little bit of work, but it's more tied to emergency services. So for me, a lot of that, and I'm on a couple nonprofit boards, and I'm on local government, and that's kind of my hobby. It's odd. It's my adult time in a lot of ways. It's my adult conversations and getting out of the house, and I stay really busy, which is a big drive, and I kind of fit it all in. So they don't sound like hobbies to most people, but when I join a nonprofit board and I go to a meeting, I like it. I like that. That's what makes me tick, even more than going and playing tennis, though that would be nice sometimes.
Okay. Does anybody here have any questions about David? And please let there not be about his politics.
I was just about to say, don't ask what party, don't ask what,
what was your platform?
Don't ask me what Donald Trump's going to do. No.
He told me last night it is the monster raving loony party.
Hey, David, I got a question. Now, this is your first child, right? This is when you just started staying at home, like in the last 7 weeks, a little bit longer.
No. Oh, no. So, yeah, we didn't. That's a good question. Yeah, no, that very important. So I have a 3.5-year-old. Okay. She turned 3 in May. I have a daughter, and I've got daughter number 2 that was born middle of November. So she's a 7-week-old. So I've been home actually since the very beginning for my 3.5-year-old.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I missed that part.
Yeah, no, I don't think I added that. And yeah, so I've been home. Yeah. It's about 4 years. If you count kind of that early pregnant one, that's always like hard to explain. Cause I'm like, I didn't get laid off. I didn't get fired. It was very much like, mine. It was a very odd sort of timing thing, but I've been home for, I thought about that the other day. I've been out of the workforce for this spring. It'll be 5 years actually. Which is the full-time stuff, but yeah, 3.5 year old and a 7-week old, both girls. And, it's great.
Okay, well, we're going to transition from you, David, to our most successful podcaster, mm-hmm. another one of our Commonwealth guys. This is the first time I've actually been on a podcast where the guys from the Commonwealth have outnumbered the Americans. Mr. Ross Bell, tell us about yourself, mate. Now Ross is actually working, and just to give you a bit of background, Ross is the one that actually helped me to get into the podcasting side of things. I got his name from one of the guys on the forums, and he helped me invaluably. And since he basically is a primary caregiver, he's coming on the podcast to offer his unique perspective from the UK. Come on, Ross.
Yeah, I'm crazy jealous of all of you guys. 4 years at home. Oh, I would love that. Yeah, I'm Ross. I live in the UK on the sunny south coast, although it is absolutely tipping it down right now. I'm 31. I have a 21-month-old little girl called Molly. Like Dave, she's a child of IVF, although she was much more expensive, as I found out earlier, thanks to the British way of doing things. My wife is she works full-time as well. She is a manager for a furniture store. She's just finished like a 14-day straight period because this is when they do all their sales. So she's earned a lot of money in the last couple of weeks, but she's not stopped moaning about how tired she is. So swings and roundabouts, I suppose, with her. Yeah, I've been a primary caregiver pretty much since Molly was born, really. My wife went back to work after 7 months. I work nights, so I look after Molly all day and then go to work all night. It's pretty tiring, but it's good fun. I enjoy the days with her. That's the most fun, really. It makes working bearable, I suppose. What I did before was basically what I do now, just work, really. My hobbies and interests are all podcast-related, really. Three podcasts were released yesterday with my voice on them, totaling about of just listening to me. So if there are any sadists out there, just look for those if you want to listen to me over and over and over again.
Oh, come on, pimp them out, Dave. pimp them out, Ross. Tell us what they are, mate.
Okay, there is. I do a wrestling show for anyone still interested in wrestling in their mid-30s called Ring the Bell. I also do a football podcast, which we actually won an award this year for. That's called Man on the Post. And I do a video game show called Ready Player 2. So they were all released new episodes yesterday.
And come on, get to the most successful part of it. Tell us about the award.
I didn't want to come across as arrogant, but yeah, we won the best sports and recreation podcast in the UK Podcasters Awards this year. It's we started doing the show 4 years ago now, and it's the first real piece of recognition we've got. But yeah, it's it just drives you on to do more, I suppose.
So if 4 years from now, fellas, we could all be like Ross, and he is absolutely swimming in women and money. Absolutely swimming.
He's working at night because he wants to, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, he beats him off with a stick. He's so popular in the UK right now.
You know, well, yeah, all the mother and child groups that I take my daughter to, yeah, I'm the only dad there. I've got a very small pool of stay-at-home dads in my area that I can talk to. So I get in touch with David and joining this club and a few others. It's been a big help, actually.
Well, that's curious because, I mean, we're all familiar with the stay-at-home dad set up here in the US. I mean, it's non-existent where I'm living. And I actually want the rest of you guys to weigh in on this as to what the stay-at-home dad groups are like where your area is. But Ross, what's kind of the stay-at-home dad situation where you are in the UK?
Well, in my area, there's literally nothing. I've taken Molly to a few, jiggly tots and stuff like that, like just music and dancing for my dad in the room. I'm there with 10 other women and all their kids.
But yeah, and there's nothing in the way of stay-at-home dad groups at all?
No, I've had a look. Well, mainly look through Facebook, not really Googled it too much, but there's lots of young women that have kids in our area, and I'm kind of a bit of an outlier, I suppose, during the day. I get odd looks from people in the shops when I'm taking my daughter to the shops. Kind of look at me like, shouldn't you be at work?
See, that's basically our world. Would everybody agree? Don't all speak at once, fellas. I know you're all getting those burritos from Pat. But that's basically our world. Whether or not you work or not otherwise, if you're at home all day with the kids and your only outlet is women's groups, you're basically in the same world.
Yeah, there's not much. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky. There's Twitter stay-at-home dads that I know just locally. So there's one guy who's actually a Scottish and ex-tank commander who's now a stay-at-home dad. And And there's another buddy who's one as well too. He's probably gonna be heading back to work the next year. So I got a couple of dads to at least go do something with. For groups, is there really any groups? Not really. We do have a dad. You know, when I got here, I got a hold of one of the dads that who had a dad club. And I've helped with it. You know, we worked together, and they've kind of grown that too. But there's not many of us. Usually, when you hit the old pool or anything else, or half a time, it's mums and tots, and you got a phone and go, well, can I come?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I guess so. It's like, well, it says mums and tots, so it's not. Doesn't sound very inviting to the rest of us. Or even like the other day, I took my older one to preschool. She goes a couple days a week, half days, just for getting ready for school. And there was some magazine there, and it was called For Mums and Caregivers. And it's like, oof. So it's like, yeah, it's you're definitely living in a woman's world, I guess. It's changing, but you're still the minority by a pretty big spread.
Yeah.
Okay, David, I see your purple manicure showing, mate. What have you got to tell us?
Yeah, so on my end, you guys might get a kick out of this, but yeah, no, I definitely only come across every once in a while stay-at-home dads where I am. And I have definitely, I've come across them, but just not frequently. Though I know a number of dads that are very involved, and I think that I found has been, and it may be a generational thing, but flexible time and very involved. So a friend of ours, very close, he's a nurse, and so he works sometimes like long days or nights, that sort of shift, and around all the time. I'm not sure if he calls himself a stay-at-home dad so much, but definitely more of that sort of a thing. But I do, you know, I found more, if you're going to go for groups, it's more, you know, moms groups. I am, you guys are going to kick, but I am the president of our local moms club, which is the Moms Club International, which is a club that in a lot of ways, you know, all the rules, everything's sort of written and no way to talk about dads. But at least where I am, I will say I was very fortunate that everyone, it may have taken a few months, maybe every once in a while a new mom or something along those lines, but everyone has been really accepting. And I know that it's not that way for a lot of people, but I found myself to be very fortunate that I've got a core group that, you know, yeah, there aren't dads involved so much, but, you know, I'm comfortable. You know what I mean? I think that's the key. And you know, that doesn't always happen for everybody, but really is the key, is being able to like be comfortable going out, be comfortable. And, you know, you run into stuff all the time. And, you know, the funniest part is when I'm out with some of the moms, right? And we run into some of the, like, someone will make a comment and like that's very dated. And even they like chuckle, like, are you kidding me? you know, we were out today at lunch. Actually, my wife's a maternity, so she was there. But a friend of mine through the Moms Club reminded me, actually, when daughter number one had to go to the bathroom, but she reminded me of the time that we had sat there. We were literally having a conversation, and I think it was one of the like the blogging group conversations about had been going on about, you know, restrooms. I think Ashton Kutcher had just posted something about not having the changing table. We were like talking about it. 5 seconds later, my kid goes, I walk in, up. I'm changing her in the ladies' room, you know, and it's, but they're so supportive. So that, I think that's that like key in any regard, be it the online groups or in person, but that's a support thing.
Now, Pat, out in Chicago, you must have a whole different world to all of us though. There must be tons out there though, isn't there?
Yeah, there's, you know, it took a while for me to find a group, and then found out that there were two pretty active groups right around me, and I'm not in the city in Chicago. I'm out in the northwest suburbs, but there were and ended up being two very active groups out towards me. But it took months, you know, almost 5-6 months for me to actually find it, and just kind of stumbled onto them. So that was one of the things that's one of the reasons why my blog partner and I started our blog, was because he didn't have anything by him out in Texas. And, I just assumed that there was nothing by me either and couldn't really find anything. And when I finally found him, was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why can't people find groups? You know, if there's a group this close to me, there's no reason why I shouldn't have known about it and been able to find it somehow when I was looking for them. But sometimes, like when you start, I think you don't really know what it is that you're looking for, you know, because you're new to the industry. It's a new job, you know, so you're not sure exactly what to search for. And you know, when you're just kind of looking for, you know, dads hanging out, you don't even think really to necessarily even Google, perchance, dad groups, you know, or Chicago dad groups. And, you know, when you're really, really looking for it, it can suck. And for me, it is nice that there is a very active group out here. You know, and a lot of guys, you know, really good relationships with a lot of the guys that, you know, show up a lot. And, a lot of us come in and out based on, you know, when kids are born and, you know, what's going on seasonally and everything. But it is nice to have a group. You know, and I can't imagine what it would be like if I didn't have anything, you know, so I don't envy you guys, but, you know, I know that there are groups out there and there is help if you want to start a group, you know, and really all it takes, we always say all it takes is two guys, you know, at the park, and that's a group.
Yeah, all it takes is two guys. I've seen Brokeback Mountain. I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to crack the joke, but I was going to say,
Dave, you wonder why there's no dads who want to hang out with you in Florida.
Yeah, I don't get it.
We're learning a lot about Dave today.
Actually, yeah, I'm glad I'm thousands of miles away at this moment.
Hey, look, love me or leave me, mate. Pat brings up a good question, a good point, though. When I first started searching for stay-at-home dads, I really didn't know what I was looking for because I'm not sure I really knew that I was a stay-at-home dad. In fact, I know Ross doesn't really think of himself as a stay-at-home dad because he says to me when we first started talking, I work, I'm not really a stay-at-home dad. He's at home all day with a kid.
Yeah,
he's a stay-at-home dad. I'm sorry. I don't care if you work nights or not. You're the primary carer. You take care of the child all day.
Yeah.
Whether or not you have an income that comes in at night is immaterial.
Well, to be able to do it all day and go to work all night, like that's a tough gig. That takes a lot, some big cojones.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days a week, I have 24-hour days, basically.
I'm sorry, but the thing is, that to me just sounds harder than our situation.
I'd agree, yeah.
But then again, the point being, if you're doing a search and if you're doing a search for people who are similar to you, coming up with the idea that you're actually a stay-at-home dad is the first – it's almost like the first step to acceptance.
Yeah.
Now, when you first started searching, Pat, did you actually use the term stay-at-home dad? Was it something that you'd already acknowledged?
I think yes, and I think that was part of my problem was that I was looking for stay-at-home dad group Chicago, you know, or stay-at-home groups and stuff like that. And you know, ultimately what I should have been doing is just looking for dad groups, you know, but it was still until my very first outing with the Chicago Dads group that I found out that there was actually a national at-home dad network. And I had no idea, you know, and when I met the guy who had just moved here and from Kansas City, I think, and said that he was the president of the National At-Home Dad Network, I was like, what? Wait a minute. I've been looking for stay-at-home dad stuff, and you're telling me there's a national at-home dad group? Like, what is going on here? So,
I'm sorry. David put his hand up there, and he sharply took it down. I'm not sure if he wants to speak.
Yeah. No, I was just going to note that with guys, I think from what I can tell – while some of the moms do have some things they do on the side, I've noticed that there's a much more flexible component, at least in my circles, when it comes to the guys. There's like, you know, I picked up consulting stuff now, but I still call myself a stay-at-home dad. I'm here, you know, 95% of my time probably still goes to that, right? You know, and so some of the dads maybe don't consider some stay-at-home dads as they work more, but I've just noticed more, oh yeah, I work from home and the kids, you know, do preschool or some daycare, but I'm around the most, or, you know, whatever it may be. And again, I think some of it's generational and then some of it's, you know, technology, but I found a lot of that lands the dads at home. So I do come across a lot of those dads, but it's a little bit different because I think on my end, at least just you know, for me, there isn't some other 30-hour work component or something, you know, at this time. And so, but that may be something, I don't know if other people are coming across that, but you know, it's an observation I've had.
So what's a standard day for you fellas? I'm going to go through the list. Brett, what's a standard day for you?
Yeah, different depending on my wife's schedule. Like sometimes she's on call, if she's not home at all. So, those days are long days, sometimes multiple days in a row. But for most days, like we're up at, you know, I'm usually up by about, my kids are good sleepers, so I gotta say I'm lucky. I'm up by about seven. Kids usually up around 7:30 or so, to 8 o'clock. Yep, breakfast, you know, get changed and ready to go. Then, depending on the day, we'll go out, and if it's summer, we go out for walks or go hit the park or go hang out with some other dads and, play around and get out, or then, you know, usually lunch, and little one naps from about 12:30 till about 3:30. So I try to keep the older one occupied. Right now we got some snow, so she's quite happy to go make snowballs and shovel around and stuff. Trying to teach her not to eat the yellow snow. And yeah, so then usually by the little one's up, she has some food, and I usually start, you know, cooking for supper and getting everything ready for supper about 4 o'clock. So by the time my wife, you know, kids eat at 5, wife's usually home around 5:30. She eats, kids are up in the bath by like 6:45, 6:50. And in a perfect world, everybody's in bed by about 7:30, you sleep by 7:30, 8 o'clock kind of thing. So, then it's some time to do some dishes and do some of the stuff around the house and maybe have a cold beer and recuperate. But, yeah, like it's pretty busy most days. Like, and sometimes she works weekends and stuff too. So it, to me, every day just feels the same. Doesn't matter if it's a Monday or a Saturday or whatever. It doesn't really make a big difference right now. It's a little bit different just because of, I had some health issues that came up last year. So we have a little bit of help right now temporarily until I'm back on my feet 100%. So, which actually is kind of nice because you actually have somebody here during the day to talk to once in a while. Because I know when I think I hear Pat talking about it there, when I moved, we moved here and decided to be a stay-at-home dad. Like it was a new city. I didn't know anybody here. I didn't have a chance to meet people through work and all those usual avenues that you would, meet friends and stuff. So yeah, it felt, you know, I was kind of the same way, trying to scratch through the surface, trying to find somebody or some people close by that you could kind of hang out with or talk to or whatever, right? Because you're kind of stuck at home all day by yourself with the kids and no friends or family in anywhere close by. So it a lot of I felt like a private eye trying to find some people or some sources or someone to chat with every once in a while.
Well, we're all friends here, Brett. We're all friends here.
I don't trust you. I trust the other guys, but I don't trust you.
Okay, Ross. For the person who actually has talked ad nauseum for days on their own podcast, you've done very little talking. I want you to give us a standard day.
Okay, let's take tomorrow, for example, or today for me, Saturday. I'll be up in 5 hours' time, and my daughter will get up. She gets up pretty much routinely at 7 o'clock every day. My wife leave for work at 8:30. We'll have breakfast, we'll get dressed, have a little bit of playing, watch a bit of TV, take the dog for a walk. That's always a fun part of the day because Molly likes to jump into puddles if there's any puddles, and there's going to be lots of puddles tomorrow. Come home, have lunch. Then she tends to have a little nap around 1 o'clock. That's basically when I'm supposed to get jobs done, but really when I just sit down on the Xbox or on the laptop and play some games, really. Then when she's up, it's pretty much playing until 4:30, 5 o'clock. Then time to put dinner on. She has dinner 5:30. Then she goes for a bath. My wife gets in at 6. The daughter will be fed and bathed and in her pajamas for like an hour's play with mum before she goes to bed at 7:30, 7. Then go and make dinner for me and my wife, eat dinner and just slob in front of the TV, really, unless I've got any podcasts to record that evening. That's pretty much my day.
So your adult company basically comes in the form of podcasts for the most part?
Pretty much, yeah. Faceless voices in my head.
Wow. Wow.
There's medication for that. I can sell you some.
Yeah. But hey, yeah, pretty much. I mean, all my friends, where I work nights, all my friends work days anyway, so I don't see them. And when I do see them, it's for 10 minutes before I go to work. And it's tough to find time to do anything but podcasting, really. It's the way I can interact with the world.
Well, our very first podcast, we talked about the online world and how important the online world was for stay-at-home dads.
Yep.
Because it's our lifeline. It's our artery to adult conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I don't want to derail it. I want to get on to David here. Now, come on, David. I want to hear your standard day. And for God's sake, make it exciting.
Yeah, no, the really interesting one is I'm not really sure what my real day is at this point because I've got a wife on maternity. Maybe it's got more excitement right now, and it's all in flux. We got a newborn and a wife in maternity, so I'm not totally sure what it's going to end up being like. Although I am a little nervous when she goes back in about, I think, about 6 weeks now. The countdown is we're on the other side of the countdown. yeah. So my daughter is actually in preschool now, 5 days a week. So we've got so what I do usually, we wake up, I'd say like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm blessed with a sleeper, and that helps because if she gets me up any earlier, I'm not too happy. So we usually we usually get into an argument about what dress she's gonna wear and what headband she's gonna put in. She's definitely a girly girl and wants a ballerina dress, quote unquote. And if we don't have a ballerina dress and we're going to put her in pants, we can't just put her in a shirt. It's got to be one of those frilly sort of ending shirts. So we've dubbed those the ballerina shirts. So usually there's a solid fight there. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the brushing the teeth argument or food or getting out the door. We really focus on what's going to be worn that day. So that's really the bulk of my morning. You know, we get out the door by, you know, about 8:45 to hopefully, if we're lucky, so we can get to school on time at 9. And then sort of, you know, she's a napper in the afternoon. So my key time actually, on the serious note, right? So doing the preschool was sort of knowing I was going to be busier with some projects and also that a new baby was going to come who I wanted to spend time with. So my big window to spend time with my daughter is usually 12:30 until nap time, which is supposed to be 1:45, but we always push it later. So she eats lunch at school, but a lot of times we'll go out. She and I are big fans of going out for sushi lunch, which drives my wife totally up the wall when she's sitting in her office. but I swear my daughter asks for it, so I have to do it. I mean, I just can't.
How old is your daughter again?
She's 3.5. She doesn't eat the sushi, but she likes the dumplings and the rice and the avocado and, you know, the whole bit. So
that's fantastic.
Fantastic. That's bizarre. That sounds like a HBO television series.
It's a total blast. And I can tell you, my wife, we still joke of the final lunch that we took before summer was out and she was going to start the 5 day, 9 to 12:30 program. And I spent, I'm not even going to disclose the number. And it was all for the love of, you know, my daughter and she and I having that great lunch before school. And it was sushi. look, we have a lot of fun. So if we don't do that, you know, a lot of times we'll go for like a quick, I call it maybe a hike, but there's a really nice park. Right near her preschool, we go out, we do that. We'll go if it's in the summer or warmer, we'll go, you know, down to the marina and walk down the pier. I try to get her out. I try to keep, you know, and I try to do something with her there because she then naps for kind of a bigger chunk, which I usually try to get a lot of stuff done, get ready. If there's any dinner or anything around the house, that's kind of a key window to do that. And then, you know, it's the witching hour after that, right? So if I do not wake my daughter. That's the rule in this house. Let her sleep. If you wake her up at all, good luck. Stay away. But we go into the evening routine, and that sort of depends on how my wife's day is going. If I've got a meeting I've got to go to at night, sometimes it's very hectic. Sometimes it's sort of looser. Daniel Tiger comes into play. If she wakes up and Daniel Tiger's there, we're all happy because I need Daniel Tiger too. So
don't you get me started on Daniel Tiger, mate.
You're obsessed with Daniel Tiger, Dave.
Yeah, I think we both seem to be. It's a Dave thing. We do a little TV. Oftentimes they get deigned for too much, but we try to then play. I try to cut it off and again go in that window because my key windows, at least with my, and it will stay this way with my 3.5-year-old, are sort of that post pickup and post nap before mom gets home. And when mom gets home, it's like, forget dad. I don't even know you. I don't need you until one component. And I'll leave you with this. I know I've taken some time here, but I am responsible. And it's rough when I'm not home, actually. She will literally sometimes wait up for me for 3 hours coming home from a town meeting. I mean, it's actually really like a problem. But we have to do, I have one of the Sesame Street, books called Night. It's like Nighty Night, and I have to read that book. We've been reading that book to her every single night. I think without fail, and since she was an infant, and that's like that go to. We read all the other books. That's the last one. It's a short book, but we're totally into it. And then I have to do this thing. This 2 minutes. She loves timers. So I have to like, it's actually the most adorable routine, and it actually gets her to sort of do closure, and then I'm going to leave. But we do 2 minutes, and I literally set a timer, and she goes, Dad, are we at 1 minute? Are we at 30 seconds yet? Okay. All right. Good night, Dad. And that's it. That's how we wrap it up.
Okay. Well, now we have Pat. I mean, I know Pat's day is involved with communicating with everybody online as much as anything, but what do you do offline, Pat?
Mine sounds a lot like what most of you guys have said as well, but the kids usually get up, the three-year-old gets up about like 6:30 in the morning is when his clock turns green and he's allowed to get up, which he finally does for the most part. My wife usually leaves at about 7 o'clock in the morning. So she tries to get up a bit early so that, she can kind of hang out with him and even my daughter, if she wakes up in time, and, they like to hang out in the bathroom with her while she's putting on her makeup and stuff, which kind of gives me, 15, 20 minutes to drink some coffee and watch WGN morning news and, just kind of slowly wake up. She goes to work. We usually do breakfast, and then we, lately we've been trying to head to the gym for a couple hours, 'cause then they can play and I can kind of do my thing. And then we come home and do some playing. If we need to go to the grocery store or something like that, we'll head out after that. And then kids nap at about 1 o'clock. The 1-year-old naps at about 1, and the 3-year-old kind of now is in a phase where he decides. So if he wants to take a nap, he can. If he doesn't, then he just needs to kind of keep it down. Because I try to steal about at least like 30 minutes right there to kind of do something for, the At Home Dad Network or the blog or anything that I can do there. Usually she gets up at about like 3 or so, and we just kind of play in the house, and they like to play tag a lot. So we run around and play tag, or chase ghosts, with flashlights in dark rooms, have dance parties every once in a while. And then my wife usually gets home at about 6 o'clock now. So I'm trying to make their dinner by about 5:30 so that around about 6, I can have them in the bath. And, then she kind of takes over, and then it allows me to make second dinner, which is for me and the wife. Because come 5 o'clock, even making dinner for them is just, the 1-year-old is screaming and holding onto my legs and wanting me to either play or do something. And I just wish I had gates to keep them both out of the kitchen. To no avail. And then, you know, the wife usually takes over and kind of does nighttime routines for both of them, because, you know, that's, it's kind of the hour and 2 hours that she gets with both kids out of the day. So, I kind of take a little bit of a step back and clean up the disastrous mess that we've made all day long and try to get a couple dishes done and, crack a beer if I can, and that's about it. But, you know, yeah, I try to check in with a lot of the social media stuff, and I am a big one that, you know, kind of like what you guys were saying, having these groups and everything, that is our social contact. You know, when I was at work, I was always very talkative and, you know, liked, you know, having those relationships with people and conversations and everything. And when you're an at-home parent, you don't get that. So, so I do get that from, you know, personal messages and stuff like that with people and bantering back and forth in the groups and stuff. And it's nice.
It does. It keeps your adult conversation up, and we have a lot of. Well, hang on a second. We don't have any adult conversation. What the hell am I talking about?
No, no, no.
True. David has a question for you, Pat. David, you want to speak up, mate?
Oh, just quick. Yeah, I you mentioned something with the clock, and the color changing. Mm-hmm. So we haven't. You know, my 3.5-year-old probably could have some sort of a clock introduced. I mean, I've sort of convinced her that she's not allowed to get up until we come in and whatever. But do you have, is that, I mean, some special, like a kids related clock or some other trick you found? Cause we've been trying to do something, you know, as she's older.
Well, I was bashing my head against the wall for about 2 months, because for some reason our kid was getting up at like 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning and was like, I'm awake. It's time to go. Let's party.
Ouch.
And it was absolutely driving me nuts. And I actually posted the question in the At Home Dad Network group and just kind of said, you know, what somebody help me, like, God, help me, please. What do I do? And a lot of people suggested there's a couple different clocks that you can get that kind of change colors and everything. So we tried one where, you kind of set a timer so that each day at like 6:30, his clock turns green, and then he knows that he can go ahead and get up. And it took a few days or weeks to kind of get used to it. And for the most part, he does it. Every once in a while, he kind of wakes up at 6 and will either kind of stay quiet or call for us and say that it's really hard for him to stay asleep, which is adorable at 6 a.m. So it's hard to, you know, make him go back to sleep. But I would definitely look into that if I were you, because that's been a huge help for us, man. Huge help.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
no, thank you.
I'm sorry, David. Does that answer your question, though, mate?
Yeah, no. Just thank you. Yeah, it definitely does. I will. Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, because my standard day is basically 5 o'clock in the morning or something. I stick my eyelids open with a set of matchsticks. I put the coffee grinder on. I shake my head. My daughter laughs. My wife goes into the office to go to work. We sit down and we negotiate dinner, which really is just her putting it into her mouth, spitting it out, throwing it on the floor. And then we go off to daycare if I'm lucky. And I say if I'm lucky because daycare really is just a hotbed of illness, to which I take her, they infect her, they send her back home, and I pay them money for the privilege. And my daughter is actually home at the moment with some form of eye infection. So, but for the most part, it's very different, obviously, because we're in winter time, because summertime involves days at the beach, 3-hour naps, laughing and hiking, and generally super daddy fun day. And on that note, we're going to actually wrap it up. I'm going to thank my co-hosts, and let's start with up there in the Great White North. Thank you very much, Mr. Brett Roberts.
Thank you. I'll wait for my check in the mail.
Okay, and thank you very much, Mr. Pat Jacobs.
No problem. We should renegotiate my contract.
From what I understand, the square root of zero is still zero. Mr. David Becker.
I think I was voluntold to be here, so we'll be all right on the money for now. But no, seriously, thank you.
Spoken like
great.
A true politician.
You know,
and all the way across the oceans, I have great thanks for Mr. Ross Bell. Thank you, Ross.
Not a problem. Always get paid in advance, chaps. That's why I'm here.
He's dealing with those mad Google bucks.
But Ross, he paid you in Canadian dollars. It ain't going to matter.
Oh, really? Yeah. Not even with the conversion?
No. Yeah. Just use it. It's toilet paper, buddy.
Damn it.
Hey, I'll pay you in Australian, mate. They're about the same. Okay. And that wraps it up, folks. Please subscribe to us on Twitter at SadPod, on our Facebook page, which you'll find in the show notes, and look for us on iTunes when we can eventually get it together. Thanks very much to Micah and me for the use of Super Daddy Fun Day. And I'd like to wish everybody a Super Daddy Fun Day. My baby sister bound to get in the way. I'm ready for another Super Daddy one day. Yeehaw.
Lovely.
Oh yeah.